Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
6:15 is going to be hot today. Highs of 95, maybe some more record heat. 20% chance for showers. I don't know if that's real or they just say that to help us hold out. 93 degrees Saturday, 90 Sunday, then a cool front. Less humid and breezy by Tuesday. Highs of 83. We'll see. Mike Dettillier joins us now. My favorite time of the week, Mike, I kid you not, because first of all, it's a pleasure to talk to you anytime, and good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Al. That's nice of you. Thank you, brother.
Well, you're quite welcome. And the other thing is that, man, here we are on the weekend, Friday, looking ahead to the games. The future is unlimited. You can write whatever story you want today, right? So let's start talking about the Saints and the Bucks. I was trying to find the schedule last year, and it keeps giving me the wrong year. Saints were just blistered by the Buccaneers in the first game last year, right?
Yeah, that was the Fitzmagic game,
yeah,
where he just absolutely tore it big time.
And then the second game,
it was close, and the Bucks really had a big advantage for 2.5 quarters. And Taysom Hill comes in and blocks a punt, and the momentum dramatically changes in Tampa. And the Saints end up winning that football game. But that was quite a tussle in Tampa until, you know, Hill becomes the magic man in that contest.
And that was late in December, right? December 9th? Did I have that right?
I would think somewhere in that time frame.
Between Dallas and Carolina. Anyway, I ask that only because of matchups this year. You know, Mike, I know no team ever stays the same. They always get better or they get worse. 15 new guys on the Saints team, I think, this year. What about Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay, new head coach with Bruce Arians. He's made a ton of changes there. The one change he didn't make was at quarterback with Jameis Winston. He's a believer in Winston, and that's how the Bucks ride, on his play. And he's either going to be really good or he's not going to be really good. I mean, he's one of those type of what I would call pitchers of the game, in that you can tell pretty quickly with him if he's got it that day or he doesn't. And he's got some weapons. Mike Evans is one of the best wideouts in the game. Great size, big, tall receiver who is a matchup nightmare for most corners. And Chris Godwin's turned into a really good receiver. Had a great week last week against the Rams. And Cameron Brate at tight end. Cameron's a guy that actually was with the Saints for a while. The Bucks cut him. The Saints picked him up, put him on a practice squad. And then they had an injury at a tight end position with Austin Seferian Jenkins. They brought him back, and he has been dynamite for him as a pass-receiving tight end in the red zone. Problem with the Bucs is they haven't been able to run the football. They did last week pretty well against the Rams. They had a solid game running the ball. They're creating turnovers on defense. We're going to see Devin White most likely for the Bucs, who's been battling an injury, and probably the hottest defensive player in the NFC, in Shaquille Barrett, who after four games has 9 quarterback sacks. But their secondary is lousy.
Which would normally be good news, but we're going to take a break.
Well, you got to take advantage of
that. No, that's what I'm saying.
They don't cover well.
I understand that. But we'll get into Teddy Bridgewater and taking advantage of it when we come back. Because so many people have talked about it. I think Teddy Bridgewater just getting it done. Eventually he's going to fold his tent. The other thing you hear is that Teddy Bridgewater needs to throw the ball deeper down the field. I don't know if anybody can disagree with that, because you can't count on a punt return, right? And a scoop and score to win the game for you. You just can't. More when we come back. If you have any questions or comments from Mike Dettelier, as you always do and as we welcome, you can text him to 870-870 and I will pass them along, and that way you don't have to sit on hold. 620, time for traffic now here at WWL. 624, Tommy Tucker, Mike Dettelier is our guest, as he always is every Friday morning and Monday morning, I might add, taking the Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You can hear all of it here on WWL, naturally. More about that in a little bit. Mike, the customers have a consistent theme here as it relates to their texts. Teddy Bridgewater can't throw the ball down the field because his offensive line either has a holding call or lets him get sacked, but also there has to be more receivers helping out other than Michael Thomas. Ted Ginn caused an interception that wasn't Bridgewater's fault. Yes, it was a little high, but it wasn't his fault. If you don't help him out, he's not going to be good. Teddy can't throw the ball down the field if the offensive line can't block the pass rushers. Then one more. Well, Tommy, you're going to agree that Teddy needs to throw the ball deeper down the field, as if Drew Brees throws the ball deeper down the field. I'm going to agree that Teddy needs to throw the ball down the field if it is going to be successful. Mike Dettelier, you said before the break that Tampa Bay has a weak secondary, right?
Lousy.
Lousy is what you said.
That's my term. No, they're not good in the coverage part of the game. And it don't take you long to figure that one out. So you got to take advantage of that. And you got to... First of all, you got to run the football on him. I think that, again, in this league, if you one-dimensional, you're going to get beat. And that's why the Bucs have not had a lot of success lately. They haven't been able to run the ball. For the Saints, it's about stopping the run of the Bucs. Make Jameis Winston beat the guy to beat you. And, you know, you got to take it as is. But you can't let him run the ball on you. And they've done a pretty solid job in run support. But you know what? I got to go after that Bucs secondary just because that has seemingly been a hole they have not been able to fill for the past few years. And I'm going after that one because I saw what I can see what other teams have done to have success against them.
So have they been spoon-feeding Teddy Bridgewater so far? And is this a chance? First of all, let me ask you about the Tampa Bay pass rush. Against
it's
our guys.
Pretty good because of Barrett. He has made a big difference on this football team. This guy was a career backup with the Broncos. He didn't get a lot of acclaim. And all of a sudden, he has blossomed into a big-time player. Also having Ndamukong Suh in the middle. And with Ndamukong depends on the mood of the day. Some days of the week, he is really rough to go up against, and other days he's mere mortal. So depends on how well he wants to play. But Barrett's the guy because he's, again, 9 sacks in 4 games. That's a ton of sacks, and only 3 other guys in the history of the NFL have ever done that. So that's impressive.
I see.
So you got to block him.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Mike.
No, you got to block him. But if you can block him, then you got an opportunity to make some plays downfield. And, again, a young linebacker core, Lavonte David is still there, who's one of the most underrated players in the game. And, again, Devin White looks as though he's a go. And we know a lot about Devin from his days, certainly at LSU. But, again, their secondary is the key. You got to take advantage of it. But, first of all, you better win the battle up front.
Yep.
You didn't quite win that battle last week, but you came out with a W. And the team has been hit and miss up front along the offensive line this year. That's where the inconsistency has come into play here. It's been along the offensive line.
You mentioned, we're talking about Teddy Bridgewater. I got another question about Jameis Winston I'll get to in a second. But so what happens in terms of Teddy Bridgewater? Somebody texts in, he's 2-0, end of conversation, getting it done. Don't analyze it too much. Too many analysts. Well, keep in mind, after Sunday, he's either going to be 2-1 or 3-0. So that is a kind of big deal. In terms of the short passes, spoon-feeding him, does he have a chance here if the line can give him some time to kind of let him do some things? And again, this will be his third week that maybe he wasn't able to do in the first 2 weeks in terms of timing with the receivers and everything?
Well, you know what? The gentleman that put about to overanalyze this, he's correct. You got to do what Teddy does best. And what he does best is throw the short intermediate pass. Why do you want the long pass when that's not his forte?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to keep doing what he does best. And, again, that's the short intermediate area of the game. That's what Drew does best. So every once in a while, though, you got to take your strike downfield. And against this football team, you got to make them pay the price because they're going to come up. They're going to do like the other couple teams have done against the Saints and play an extra man in a box. So you know what? You got to take your shot downfield. But we're not reinventing the wheel here. He does a good job in that short area of the field, and you play to his strength. So stop trying to make him a deep passer when that's not what he does. You have to play to what he does best. I agree with that. You're going to take a few deeper shots downfield, but he is what he is as a passer. That's not going to change.
Let me take a break here, Mike, and for news. And the other thing, you know, I want to talk about is, does it get easier, not easier for the coaches, but do they have more information now that they've seen him in game situations, real live action for the last 2 weeks? First week, I don't think you can really count that. More with Mike Dettelier when we come back, 260-1870. If you have any questions, we'll answer them when we return. Right now, time for WWL First News. And for that, we go to Dave Cohen. Who dat? Indeed. 6:45, quarter till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, getting ready for the Saints and LSU games this weekend. Mike Dettelier, our guest NFL analyst. You're going to hear a lot of him this morning on WWL, this weekend rather, on WWL, as you should. Mike, we like to take care of the customers, so let's go to Billy in Hammond. Hey, Billy, what's your question?
Good morning, Mike. I played ball semi-pro back in the 80s, and I got a question for you. On the fourth down sack against the Cowboys, they did that blitz where they had an outside rusher and an inside rusher. I believe he was coming up the A-gap. The back picked it up, and that's when Teddy got sacked. In that situation, can he – I mean, what's the next level for him to be able to read that and have a hot receiver to get that ball out of there and not take a 15-yard loss?
Hi, Mike.
On that particular play, you got to kind of – figure out what's happening real quickly and get rid of the football. You can't take the sack on that spot. You just can't. You got to get rid of the football quicker. Teddy was trying to, I think, maybe make something out of nothing there. But in that spot, and you're getting beat up front, you just got to throw the ball away. Because sometimes the best play is an incomplete pass. I'd much rather take that than get that 15-yard loss. So that's where I think a team like the Cowboys saw the Saints were having some difficulties here up front, and they were getting beat in a couple areas. And up the middle was part of it. And they're taking advantage of the fact that the Saints don't have Max Unger anymore. And I'm a big believer in that center position, that you got to know what you got to do on every play.
You taught us that last year, and you are not wrong, Mike.
And it's a spot where Eric was making some quick snaps, and he was the only one that knew about it. And it was throwing everything off up front. That's part of it. So, you know, Eric's got to get a little bit better at that center position. And your guards right now, I think physically, have some issues. They're sort of beat up. So that's a big part of it. They took advantage of that, of the rookie center. And then the Saints were struggling inside at the guard positions. And for the quarterback, when you sense it, you just got to throw the ball away. You know, live to fight another day.
Mike, I always thought in those situations, and maybe I'm wrong, but I always thought the last thing the offensive coordinator, Sean Payton, whoever is talking to the quarterback, needs to say is, do not take a sack. Do not take the sack. You think they do that or not?
They do it, but that doesn't mean
no, I understand
that you won't take it. I mean, you know, because, you know, your instinct sometimes is, I'm going to try to make a play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to try to make something here. And sometimes your instinct is wrong. That you just got to live to fight another day with those type of plays. But you see it more and more in the NFL, where there's not as many edge rushers, top edge rushers, as they were, say, 10, 15 years ago. So you're giving them a different look. The worst thing a quarterback can see is interior pressure, because it's straight line. It's right to you. And it's hard to get away from it. Really, really hard, unless you're extremely mobile. And Teddy's got some movement skills, but he's not what you would want to call a scrambler or a runner.
And that's what makes Sheldon Rankin so good on the other side of the ball.
And David Onyemata is...
Can't leave him out.
Is getting there, too. And Malcolm Brown really, really, really played well last week. That's really become the strength of this football team, is what they've got up front that defensive line.
So I did two things real quick. Somebody texted in, I think you told me this, that, you know, when you see maybe early in the game a quarterback throwing a ball high, it generally means he's a little bit nervous, does it not?
Yeah, I've talked to enough quarterback coaches where you see it in practice first. And what they get them to do is, if you see it, hey, throw the football a few more times, try to get it out of you. Because it's somewhat like a pitcher. You get into that habit, and it's a little bit high. They're not setting their feet, and so the ball is sort of sailing on them a little bit. And so you give them something easy to throw. You just try to get them to ease into this. But once it starts, sometimes it's really, really hard to break it back down.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, somebody texted this in. I think it's interesting. You said Jameis Winston, basically, when he's good, he's very, very good. But when he's bad, he's very, very bad, right?
Pretty much.
So let's look at some signs maybe early on, if you can tell that Jameis Winston is on or off. Mike Dettelier, our guest. More when we come back. He'll make his predictions as well. 6:50, 10 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 6:55, 5 before 7. Tommy Tucker talking to Mike Dettelier on WWL. Mike, a text comes in, and I noticed this too, and I think I know the reason for it. Somebody said quicker snaps almost every play, game down to 1 second left in the play clock. I'll get it out. My reasoning for that is that, A, you want to give the defense as much time as you can to rest up. And secondly, you don't necessarily want to increase your offensive snaps. So is that perhaps what was going on, or was it miscommunication?
A little bit of both. And it happens in this league. You know, it's on a fast clock. You're trying to get everything set, you see it more and more in this league. You're not tricking anybody. And, you know, this stuff about tricking people, every once in a while you might. It's all about execution on a play. You got to do it well. You're practicing the same plays over and over and over again, and then you add to the table. So you're seeing that snap come, and a lot of times it's 2-1, and that center sees it. And so he's a little bit jittery, and so he's making that snap quick, very quickly.
I would run the offensive plays as slowly as I could. Somebody texted in about Jameis Winston. You talked about very good or very bad. What would be some early indicators of whether he's on or off on Sunday?
I have a neighbor that coached quarterbacks for years, and he says, he always would tell me this about Jameis, he should be in the Navy. Everything sails on him. No, when he's off, everything is high, and you can tell he's not setting his feet, and he's really an arm thrower. And that's one of the things Bruce, when he took over, he made the comment that I want to turn him into a passer. Because he's really been an arm thrower, a guy with tremendous arm strength that can put the ball anywhere. But, you know, again, that has a tendency to vary with Jameis Winston. So one of the things you see early in a game when he's off is that he's high with throws. It just sails on him big time. So that's something to watch. But he's got some major weapons with the Bucs. That's something that's been consistent, and that's why they have given the Saints some issues from year to year. It's the matchup against those guys downfield.
Somebody texted in, and to be fair against Teddy Bridgewater, it says, first and 20 is a lot different than first and 10. And a question is, of course, how do you clean up all those holding penalties in a week?
That's a technique deal, and Sean brought it up. Listen, you got to do your technique work correctly. We didn't see that in week one against the Texans. They did a really good job, and then you saw it against the Rams. They were much better against the Seahawks. And then again, it wasn't real good against the Cowboys, and they had two starters that were down along the defensive line. So it's the inconsistency here, and that's normally a technique deal that you gotta stress the fundamentals. But that's something that is not good when you start to have that good and bad, good and bad, good and bad along your offensive line, and that's supposed to be the strength of your team. But again, interior is to watch. Everybody wants to stress on Ramczyk at Armstead, but it's McCoy and the two guards. That's where they've gotten a lot of heat. Now, Robert Quinn did a good job against the Saints coming off the edge. But you see now more and more interior pressure to try to get in Teddy's face to throw the football.
You got a prediction, Mike?
I think it's a little bit more high scoring than we've seen. 27-24 Saints. I think it's close. And Saints win this, but it's a tough football game against the Bucs.
And you're saying, I don't know what the line is, but you're saying a decent amount of points to be scored. Was that 51?
Yeah, in comparison to what we – well, it got to be more than what it was last Sunday, because 12-10, you ain't seeing that again.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend. We appreciate your time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.